you a pen for a mic. How about
okay. It's good to be here. As it is. Our brother here came from Melbourne, but he's not going back, is he? They won't let him. Can I move forward or backwards to get out of the light for my eyes? Can you soften the light? Thank you very, very much. I need to have enough vision to see my beautiful wife down here. I want to share this morning on the dynamics of sharing your testimony with people who are lost. I was born again in 1956 under the ministry of a man called Oral Roberts. I don't want to go into that testimony for time, but my dad and the gentleman who came up and did communion said he liked to fight. My dad liked to fight. My uncle was the middleweight champion of Australia for wrestling. Dad was always down at the wrestling areas and the pubs and beating up people. And he got conned to go to church and got to church and didn't want to have a bit to do with that American preacher, Oral Roberts. And he sat there and the Holy Ghost did his work and he gave his heart to Jesus. Hallelujah. And I was 8 years old. By the time I was about nine and a half, I was feeding the chickens down the back, and we were going to a Pentecostal church at that time, and I was feeding the chickens, and I heard the Lord speak to me and said, call me by name, and said, I've called you to be a missionary. I was only about nine and a half years of age. And so I always had on my heart that I was going to be a missionary. And by the time we were 21, I'd evangelized when I was 19 around New South Wales. And that was with great difficulty because a lot of you know that as a child I was a mute. I had brain damage and some complications. But I went to Bible school and met Sue. We were married at 20 years of age. We were married. We had our anniversary a day ago, 2 days ago. Yeah. Ask her what she gave me for a present.
Hard work.
And so by the time we were 21, we were on the foreign mission field in Papua New Guinea, in a valley called the Fayentina, in the Eastern Highlands anyway. And the Lord said to me, I want you to be a missionary. But here's the deal, God wants everybody to be a missionary. And we went there, we worked from morning till night, we preached the gospel, we taught in Bible schools, we taught in schools, we ran medical bases, we climbed mountains and built churches and trained people for the work of the ministry. One day we had a young man turn up from West Indian. He was 1,000 kilometres away from our church, our Bible school, and he'd given his heart to the Lord and decided he wanted to tell other people, but he didn't know what to tell them. So he walked to Bible school, over 1,000 kilometres. Between where he lived and where we taught in Bible school, there were mountains galore. Where we lived, the mountains went up and down, up and down. We lived at 6,500 feet above sea level in the valley. And we'd walk up and down mountains every day. This young man walked from where he was born to our Bible school because God had called him to preach the gospel. He was the only non-New Guinean with us. But he walked down mountains, up mountains, and across crocodile-infested waters, because he had a call for Jesus. I know some Christians who can't go to church because the church is 5 kilometres away and petrol's too expensive these days. But after 4 years, the Lord called us to come back to Australia. I thought I was going to go to New Guinea and teach all these people. But after 4 years, I realised that I learnt probably more than them. They're really great evangelists. So Lord says, go back to Australia. I said, what do you want me back there? You called me to be a missionary. He said, that's why I want you to go back to Australia. The churches in Australia are full of people, but they're not full of missionaries. They're not full of people going out and preaching the gospel. And so we came back and pastored for a number of years, and then we went to Darwin. We were in Darwin for 14 years, pastoring and building churches and building good works up there. And one time I said to Susie, it's time for us to come back to somewhere else. We came down to the Gold Coast, and I said to her, I'm taking a little sabbatical, didn't I, Sue? And who interrupted my sabbatical?
I don't remember.
Jackie Pullinger.
Oh, yes.
In a church as crowded as, we're sitting over there. I'd never met her in all of my life. And Jackie Pullinger walked up the aisle, up into here, and she looked at me. She said, sir, your sabbatical is over. I want people to know their sabbatical is over. My wife's English and I'm sort of Australian. I'm a French Jew, actually. I am. And Susie has some different thinking than me, but I'll say it this way. God wants you to get off your butt and do something for him. In the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 33, this is what it says. And with great power. Everybody say great power.
Great power.
Yeah, not sloppy power. Not, you know, not sticky power. But with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. A lot of people fear about what will happen if they witness to their neighbours next door or their friends at work or the people they went to college with or the people they play football with. You know, they're afraid what people are going to say about them, you know, especially today. Pastor said that Margaret Court, and we've worked with Margaret quite a bit and over the years, Margaret Court's doing this celebration. I can guarantee it won't be on the Channel 10 news. Having a gay parade will, but not what Margaret Court's doing. I believe it should be the intention of every born-again believer to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and to testify. And to testify. Right back in the days of Jacob, giving your testimony was of the utmost importance to the Lord. By the way, I like what someone said this morning, that when Jesus was born, they brought to him wise men or the magi brought to him gold, frankincense and myrrh. You should look up the book of Generation and see what God gave to Eve in the garden. Three things God gave to Eve in the garden. Gold, precious stones and bdellium. Does anyone want to tell me what bdellium is? No one knows. Susie knows. It is perfume. Pretty similar, wasn't it? The first man comes and then, then Jesus comes and they get given the same things. But in the book of Psalms, chapter 78, verse 5, the Bible says, and he established a testimony in Jacob. He gave Jacob a testimony. He didn't tell Jacob to hide his testimony under a bushel. He didn't tell him to put it under the bed. He didn't tell him to hide it outside in the ground in a little box. He told him, he gave him this for a testimony and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. If you want to start an evangelistic program and you're a little bit too concerned about talking to the neighbour, talk to your grandkids. Talk to your nieces and your nephews. We have grandchildren. And we've brought them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Because I'm telling you now, the world and some of the teachers out there and the governments out there aren't going to be embarrassed or a little bit, you know, slow on the teaching of homosexuality or gay lesbianism. They're not going to do that. And so if they're going to get the word, you've got to give them your testimony. You don't have to always read the Bible. What happens with us is our grandkids will come along and we will just testify. We will tell a testimony about how somebody was healed or how we were healed or how we got saved and how it changed the life. So the first place that you need to start with your testimony is find a little person and share with them. Share with them. And later on, you will sort of grow to the place where you're not ashamed of sharing a God kind of principle. Good investments always pay great dividends. A ham sandwich is not that good an investment. It's going to be here today, gone tomorrow. I don't want to tell you where it's going, but you press the button to say goodbye. Too many parents are sharing the disappointments in their life to their children. Mum and dad have a problem, they share that. Don't share the disappointments. Don't share the negatives. Only share the positive things and include Jesus all the time. So here's the deal. If you have a healing in your life, if you have a blessing in your life, share it with your children and your grandchildren. If there's a negative situation, you can turn around and say to the kids, we need to pray about something. But don't be going, oh no, my life's a wreck. One time, we had a gentleman from the United States. We invited him to come and minister for us. You may not know him. He's a wonderful teacher. His name is Jerry Savelle. Anybody know Jerry Savelle? Anybody? A few. So Jerry came and he was ministering for us. And I was sitting in the congregation. And Jerry, within his message, shared a testimony. And I've never forgotten that testimony. I said to the Lord, Lord, that is such a wonderful testimony. I want to share that with others, but I want to see that testimony come to fruition in my own life. Jerry's testimony was that one day his little girl had an accident, and in the accident, she lost a finger. Cut the finger right off. And so then Jerry said, what am I going to do now? And the Lord said, well, pray for her. So he takes the little girl and he prays for her and he asks the Lord to strengthen that muscle, the bones, and let the finger and the fingernail grow back again. And when I heard that, I said, Lord, I'd like to do something like that. I'd never prayed for a body part to grow back when it had been amputated. It wasn't long after that I received a phone call from my church secretary. And she was in a bit of a tiff. She said, Pastor Greg, can you get down to the hospital straight away? We've had an accident. She said, my granddaughter crawled across, only about 18 months old, crawled across the floor while we had visitors. And one of the visitors was on the exercise bike going for it to lose weight. But my granddaughter lost a finger. She saw this shiny thing going around with everything, you know, the sparkly stuff. And she grabbed it. And it ripped the finger right off. And she said, myself and my daughter and my granddaughter, we've all just got to the hospital. Can you get here quickly? We need prayer. I got in the car and I drove there. And as I walked in, they had this room. It wasn't really that wide. It was like from me to Sue away. And there was curtains at each end and some little cabinets on either side to put things. And I came in. And there was a little girl, her name was Renee. And her hand was all bandaged up. Only 18 months old. they said to me the doctor had taken x-rays and he was out examining them now. So I said, what do you want me to do? I like to get to the what they really want to do. They said, pray. I said, what kind of prayer do you want? Did you know there's different kinds of prayers? They said, we want you to agree with us that the Lord is going to heal this child and that the finger that's been cut off will grow back. We don't want a stubby finger. We want a full finger. So I said, okay, that kind of a prayer is called the prayer of agreement. It's no good having three people pray three different things at the same time. So we prayed for her, and I prayed that that finger, and I knew the finger was short because at the back of me there's one of those stainless steel kidney basins with a little flap on it, and I looked at it, and the nail was there, and the top of the finger was there, the first joint was there, and all the root system of the finger had gone, the fingernail had gone too. Now, this is an impossibility, isn't it, according to man? But what's impossible to man is possible for God. So I did exactly what these people wanted. I prayed for a complete restoration of that finger. Then what happened was the doctor came in through the curtains, met me for the first time, and this is what he said. He said, I've got good news and bad news. Now, don't take me wrong. I think doctors are pretty good people. If it wasn't for doctors, most of us would probably be dead. But the thing I don't like about doctors, I'm going to be up front, they advertise their problems before you even get in the door. They have this big sign that says, practicing physician. And God's not practicing. Is that right? Pastor, can you go around and wake some people up, please? So the doctor said to me, oh, everybody, I got good news and bad news. He said, she's not going to die, but she's going to spend the rest of her life with one short finger. And I said to him, oh, that's not what the other doctor said. He said, what other doctor? I said, the doctor who spoke to us a few minutes ago. He said, what's his name? I said, Jesus. We've got to stand for Jesus in his word, don't we? We've got to stand for Jesus. We've got to have absolute boldness. Now, the thing I want to talk about giving a dynamic testimony, and let me tell you, if Jesus had any part of your testimony, it's all dynamic. Amen. It's not like a 50%. Okay, it's a dynamic testimony. So what I want to share this morning is if you share your godly testimony with somebody, you're never going to really know where it went, that testimony went. It could go around Australia. It could go interstate. It could go overseas. It could go to families who aren't even Christians and they get saved through your testimony. But that's what a testimony does. You share it and it's reshared and it's reshared and it blooms. In fact, it may even go out of control with the wonderful things of Jesus. Isn't that good news? Yeah. So what happened was the neighbour of this young lady, Mum, what she did was she went and told her friend, her name was Linda Tanos. And Linda told her next door neighbour, my daughter's just had an accident, a finger's been cut right off. Then she told the neighbour, we've prayed for Renee's finger. And the lady next door was was interested. That, you know, if a little girl gets hurt, the neighbours and uncles and aunts are always interested, aren't they? Yeah. And so Linda says, we prayed for my daughter that she would have a complete healing. And then over the next couple of months, it just grew and it grew and it grew. The doctor said she'll never have a fingernail because the root system's gone, you know. It's like trying to plant a tree without a seed. So it grew and a nail grew. And it... drink. Oh, honey, what did you put that over here for? Yeah, you. This is not gin and tonic, okay? I have a little saying. Lips that touch wine will never touch mine. And if Susie wants to have a drink, she's got to drink through a straw. So the lady next door, she hears the testimony. Well, guess what? She's not even a Christian. But she became a believer in the power of the Holy Ghost. Because it wasn't long down the road that this lady who loved to read, who was Linda's next door neighbour, she went to the doctor because she was having some problems with her eyes. And the doctor said, you have a sugar buildup on the back of your eye and it won't take long before you won't be able to read and you will go blind. And honey, how much of the eye was diseased?
They said the operation is very unlikely to work. They said she had a 5% of success from having the operation
with
to
an
save
operation. So guess what? She didn't want to have an operation. She didn't want to go blind. She said, I love reading. And she came knocking on Pastor Greg's door.
Hallelujah.
I said, hi, can I help you? She said, yes, told me the story. She said, would you lay hands on me and pray for me? Because I've got to have this operation. They couldn't do it in Darwin. Darwin didn't have the medical staff. They had to fly her at the government's expense to Adelaide. She gets to Adelaide, they said, this is a rare thing, but we have to put a beam through your eye. You've got to not move. We've got to strap you in, and we've got to put the beam right through the eye and just burn off the sugar at the back. Very rare for it to work. We're talking what? Nearly 30 years ago. So they take her in. They thought, well, first of all, we're going to do an examination. They flew her back the next day. There was no sugar buildup on her eye. She'd been totally, absolutely healed. I want to say something that some Christians find it difficult to believe. Jesus loves sinners. And Jesus will heal a sinner just as fast, he will give them a new life and invite them into the family of God. Isn't that good? Some people say, well, God had never saved them. Oh, they're just too bad. Well, let me tell you who God did save. Right? He brought in the sons of Zebedee on the beach. They were a letdown in the beginning for their life. In fact, Jesus called them the sons of thunder. Do you know why he called them sons of thunder? Because they probably expressed themselves in some not nice so words. That's what the hot-tempered young men. So she got healed. Let me read you a scripture here. It's in the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 23 and 25. I'll give you a little bit of history about the Bible. You've got to understand I'm a Bible studier. I studied the Bible and have done all my life. Matthew chapter 1. To me, it wasn't really that interesting. It was all about who begat who and who begat who and who didn't begat anybody. And then you get into chapter 2 and Mary and Joseph meet and she falls pregnant by the Holy Ghost and then they go on this little trip on the back of a donkey and then she gets put into a manger and then Jesus is born and then the angels... lighten up the sky and the wise men come and then they take off and they go to Egypt. I mean, no ministry yet, is there? In fact, we don't have any ministry until after Jesus is baptized and goes up into the Mount of Temptation. The first miracle took place at the Cana, the wedding of Cana in Galilee. So now let me tell you where Jesus starts his ministry. Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 and 25. Now, most of you have all read this, but you probably haven't read it as deep as I've read it, because I found something here that is an absolute blessing. It says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all kinds of disease amongst the people." That's what Jesus did. When he went out into the world ministering, he did some preaching, he did some teaching, and he did some healing the sick. Then it says, this is the part of the scripture that most people don't look at. "Then his fame went throughout all Syria." His fame, the word fame comes from the word famous. Jesus is, was, and has been the most famous person on the face of the earth since time began. There is no, look, you don't run around cheering some famous footballer from 1,000 years ago, do you? No, no, no. But we still go around, we worship the Lord because he is, was, and always will be the most famous person in the world. Jesus went out just from this date, not the first three chapters of Matthew, to the end of Matthew chapter 4. He went out preaching, teaching, and healing the sick. But his fame went throughout all Syria. Does anybody know what the last book in the Bible is? I wouldn't do that. All right, what's the last book in the Bible?
I'm going to say Revelation.
I'm going to say the book of maps.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
The book of maps.
That's it.
You, people don't study the book of maps, but if you look at the book of maps, you will find that Jesus never went to Syria. Syria was 300-400 kilometres north. He never went there. But his fame went there. When people got healed, as they were passing through the land, they go back home, they tell their family and they tell their friends the next door, that they were witnesses. His fame went throughout all Syria. Then the next verse says, let me read you the next verse, and it says, his fame went throughout all Syria, and they, who are they? The people from Syria. And they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics. How do you think paralytics got there? No, they didn't have Qantas or Jetstar. They didn't have Holden cars or Fords. Rent a camel, that's right. But they'd fall off because they'd take an epileptic fit. People went back. They didn't even have highways, let alone byways. They had little Roman roads in those days with cobblestones. The most famous form of travel in those days was on horseback, which Jesus actually speaks about in Matthew chapter 5, but we won't go there. These people from Syria were so excited about the ministry of Jesus and the healing of Jesus. They got healed, went back, and then they said, "Come on, Uncle Bob, come on, Granddad, come on, Grandma, I'm taking you south for a healing." She said, "I can't see. I can't walk. I've had 2 knee operations and a hip transplant." They said, "We don't care, we're taking you anyway, hop on the back." Or they'd carry him on these stretchers. How would you feel if someone came to town and your granny or your grandpa hadn't walked for 20 years and they said to you, "Come on, we're going to carry you. We're going to piggyback you 300 kilometres up and down mountains." Let me tell you, I wish that people today had the same burden for the winning of souls that they had back then, and they weren't even Jews. I love the Jews. My great-granddaddy was a businessman Jew in America. But they brought all these people and his fame. People, it's about time that we spread the fame of Jesus. Amen. You excited about this?
Yes.
I am. Yes. Now, my wife, she's a bit famous. She goes everywhere telling people about Jesus. She said to me some years ago, "You're always preaching in the church every Sunday. They always want you." The only reason they want me is if they'd heard her, they wouldn't have me, they'd have her. She says, I want to share the gospel. Not preach, share the gospel. She says, I'm going to go join a health club. Join a health club, got people saved. I might go join a bowls club. Then she joined the bowls club, got people saved. Then she said, I want to win my neighbours to the Lord. When they walk past the door, guess what? She got them saved. We had a white ant man come once to check out the white ants. He didn't find a white ant. This guy was a murderer. Do you know that? He murdered those lovely little white ants. She got him saved. Got him saved. I think it was yesterday, the day before, she went and shared the gospel with a neighbour on the side and a neighbour across the road. They're not saved yet, but they're getting that way. One time we were ministering in Esperance and I had this attitude, it only takes one to win one. Only takes one to win one. So we go off to Esperance in Western Australia, that's right down on the south coast of WA. And what happened was this lady who we were staying with said, "Could you pray for my daughter? She's barren." It's not God's will that anyone be barren. All right? And so barrenness is generally, but not always, is caused by an emotional reaction in the human body. I've written it. I've written three books up the back. One called Prevention is Better Than Cure. It's a medical book. One is called Don't Worry, Be Happy. And my third book, and they're both forwarded by doctors, and I've spoken in and ministered in conferences for just doctors, surgeons and professors of medicine. Please don't tell them I didn't go to school when I was a kid. But guess what? They loved it. They loved finding out what God's word says about how to be healthy. And the last book is called Do Yourself a Favour, Get Over It. Did you hear me? Do yourself a favour, get over it. Don't get your system tied up in knots. Because of bad attitude. So this lady said, "My daughter's barren. Can you pray for her?" I said, "Yeah, bring her in." They said, "Well, she doesn't live here. She lives 200 or 300 kilometres north on a farm. But she's had, what's it called, IVU? IVF, sorry, darling. And she can't get down here." She said, "What are we going to do?" I said, "Get me a cloth." So we took the cloth, we laid hands on it, prayed for her, sent the cloth up, and she'd been doing IVF probably, 5 years or 6 years or something, giving it up, too expensive, didn't work. But guess what? Jesus worked. Jesus doesn't have a sign on the door of heaven saying, practicing Jesus. So she gets the cloth, puts it on her, and I think, the end of that month, she fell pregnant, contacted mum. So we're already back on the Gold Coast, and mum rises and says, "Hey, her girlfriend that she met at IVF, she's given up too after 8-9 years, and she can't have a baby now. Can you send another handkerchief?" So we sent another handkerchief, and she fell pregnant too. This is like a contagious disease. So I said, "Lord, thank you for blessing these ladies." And I read the book of Acts, chapter 19, verse 11 and 13. "Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even the handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick." People got healed. Amen. Now here's the deal. God's no respecter of persons. Amen. If God will do that with Paul, even though he's been gone a long time, he's going to do it for me. And if he's going to do it for me, he's going to do it for you. Amen. And what happened then, things began to grow and develop in that area. So we go on a little cruise, don't we, Sue? And on the cruise, Susie goes out on the deck, one of these recliners, and she's reading the Bible, and the lady right there, she's reading her Bible, and they get to talking, and then they want to have coffee with us, and so we told them what we do. She said, well, I run a prayer healing centre with the Uniting Church or something down in New South Wales. She said, well, I've got two people there who have been doing IVF all this time and has not had any signs of falling pregnant, and they're giving up. Can you pray on some handkerchiefs? We did. Guess what? They both got healed. They both had babies. Then I went to a church down in northern New South Wales in the Tweed. Never been to the church before. Had about 300 people. I didn't teach on this. I just shared the word. I remember what I shared on. I shared on bless and curse not. And there was an altar call and all these people came out. So I went along and there was one lady who I'd never met before, and her name was Linda, and Linda was completely barren. Not only was it an emotional problem, it was a physical problem from an accident. She'd been in a vehicle accident and just ruptured all of her insides. Her doctor said to her, you cannot have a baby. Don't even try. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. So don't try. So on that day, she came out to the front and she said, Pastor Greg, would you pray for me? I want to have a child. I said, okay. I didn't know all the ins and outs of it. I prayed for her. And before the end of that year, she gave birth to a child.
Hallelujah.
A little girl. So I came back to that church about 18 months later, and guess who's at the altar? Linda. Linda says, I think we need to pray again because my little girl wants a sister or a brother. But the doctor said, I don't know how you got this child, but don't even try again. It could cause your death or whatever. She said, but God gave me this child. I want another one. I said, okay. I prayed again and again, about within a year, a second child was born.
Amen.
So then something happened that we had nothing to do with. My daughter and Linda became sister-in-laws. They'd married two brothers. And my daughter invited us around to her place for Christmas and invited Linda too. So Susie and I turn up, we open the gate, we're walking through the gate, and up there is the front door with Linda and the two girls. One girl saying, leave my mummy alone, it's my mummy, not yours. And the other one saying, no, she's not, she's my mummy, leave my mummy alone. And we're walking towards Linda, and Linda looks up and says, don't even touch me. Isn't God a good God? Isn't that a great testimony? That's the sort of testimony you need to share with other people, or she needs to share. And we've had a lot of other people in the same situation. I went to Adelaide. I am a firm. I mean, I'm a solid rock believer in the Word of Faith. Word of Faith. So what happened was, at this church, 8-9 years before, I'd given my testimony about being mute and being healed. Then I hadn't been to that church for all that time. So then what happened? We went back. Susie came back in South Australia with me. And an old couple came up and said, Pastor Greg, would you pray for our son? I said, my grandson, what's your grandson's problem? They said, he is mute, like you were mute. And we remember the miracle. We remember the testimony. Would you come and pray? So we drove out, got there. The little boy was 5 years old. They were really concerned because within a few months the child had to go into primary school. But the government would not send the child to a normal primary school, wanted to send him to a school where children have a special needs. They said, we want him to go to a normal school. We said, okay, let's go. Drive across Adelaide, went in, the little boy was asleep. We said, don't wake him, his spirit can hear. We laid hands on that little fella and he kept on sleeping, got in the car, went to preach that night, went home on the plane. When we got home on the Gold Coast, there's a little email for me. When our son woke up this morning, he could talk normal. 5 years. 5 years. Don't give up.
Amen.
Give your testimony.
Yes.
Share the things of Jesus. How long do we have? I've been looking up at the clock, but I can't even find it. It's not there. Okay. God's a good God. Did you know that? Now, I haven't been here for 2 years. We went on this road to get here the last time. It was called COVID Avenue. And they wouldn't let us in. So we missed out that year. So I don't know everybody here. And if I didn't know you, okay, 3 years ago or something, I probably forgot what you looked like. You got older and hair coloured grey and glasses now. And what's that, sir? No, we're not that old. I can tell you now that Susie and I were born a long way apart. I'm not ashamed of my age. I'm 74. I'm doing good for 74. What's that? Yeah, but I look 50 years younger. So I don't know who's visiting the church this morning, but let me tell you, if the people in the church have been doing the good thing in sharing their testimonies and sharing the things about Jesus, there's probably some people here that don't know Jesus as their own personal saviour. My life has been absolutely changed, spectacular. I have a better life than people I know, and it all came about because my best friend is Jesus. And I got that best friend because I said, hi, Jesus, when I was this big, be my friend. Look after me. Protect me. Change what my dad's life has been all of his life to a good life. And he did. So I'm going to ask everybody just to close your eyes for the moment. No one looking around. And I want to ask you, are you happy with your life? Are you happy at this stage of your life where you are right now? Do you think that your life could have a change? I mean, you girls, you go out and you change your clothes at the shopping centres every week. I know about it. I'm married to one. It's true, Sue. Don't give me the hairy eyeball look. So I know about change. And if you're a person who is not totally satisfied right now, this very minute, with where you are, and if you have never given your heart to Jesus, but you'd like to be a Jesus person, and without anybody looking around, can I just have you, if you would love to do this, if you would like to do this, because I'd like to pray for you, could you just raise your hand and say, that's me? Can I just see a hand? God bless you. The next thing I want to ask, and I'm expecting lots of that, I'm expecting so many hands, it's going to cause a flow of wind coming down here because you're going to wave it. If you would like for me to pray for you because you have someone next to you, related to you, friend of yours, workmate, that you'd like to lead to the Lord. Just think for the moment, is there someone? Oh, gee. Got them already. Just give me a little wave there. Just come on, give me a little wave. I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, you see these hands all over. There are people here that want to be able to go and share the good news with their friends and companions and family. Lord, give them the power of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, guys, I just want to show you a few things. We have a book table at the back, and there's quite a few people here that do have our books. Susie, do you want to just come over here and help your husband? Our life has been such an interesting life. Together we started as missionaries in Papua New Guinea. I've had so many people buy this book and give it to an unsaved person. The unsaved person rings me up and says, loved your book, loved your book. It even has, but does it have healings in it? Salvations? Yes, yes, yes. It even has, I think, three or four testimonies that we've been involved with where people have been raised from the dead. All right? And I thought unbelievers wouldn't like that. But they do. They love it. They love it because it's an autobiography, okay? So we have two tables up the back. We have a blue one, which is all the books I wrote. And then we have a yellow tablecloth with all the books I wrote and Susie stole my books. So my books are The Jewish Price, right? If you want a book, full price. If you want a cheap book, you go to Susie's side, the yellow one, and she'll give you everything for half price. All right, you want to take that? Let me give you an idea of the type of books we've written. This is one of my health books. There's three books there I told you before. This is just on how to be healthy. Right? It's a God kind of health. The first two were forwarded by medical doctors. I couldn't write it all in one book. There's not enough room. This book here is also a good book for evangelism. It's called Cancer, the Defeated Foe. It's got seven testimonies of seven people who were healed of seven different kinds of cancers. I wrote the book because my father-in-law died of cancer, my uncle died of cancer, and my brother died of cancer. And I said, Lord, I don't want anybody else dying of cancer. He said, well, tell them. I said, I can't reach the whole world. 26% of Australians die of cancer. So now this book's out there. And that's brought a lot of people to the Lord. And great for Christians who have cancer too. So then I have a series of books like this. There's four of them. Even though they're a New Testament subject like spiritual warfare, they come from my Jewish-Israeli background on doctrine. All right. So there's four books like that.
Culture. Sorry,
Danny, please forgive me. Anyway, I'm all right now. I won't be told off on the way home. So there's two of these books. Some people here have already got this, and somebody came this morning and said, I bought it last time, I need another one, okay? These are great for Christmas. Sometimes you don't have something to give or you know, a lot of money to buy a present. These were $22.50, and Susie's marked them down to $10 each. There's a pink one for women, and there's a blue one for both ladies and for men. All right? I won't go through it. Come and have a look because I don't have a lot of time. But the other thing we have too, I should have got my book. I bought two of yours. We've got two of these. This one here is called Comfort and Strength. Susie needed a lot of godly scripture when she first gave her heart to the Lord. Susie's went into hospital. She came out from England when you were, 12 and a half? And she was in hospital having her adenoids out by the time she was 13. New to Australia, but mum and dad couldn't take her anymore, so she was sort of put out with another family at 13. Never lived with the family ever again, but she got saved. And these are beautiful coffee table books, and they've got a scripture and a photo there. Mine, she thinks hers is better than mine. Mine has got quotes. So have a look at those. Are you laughing at me, sir? Anybody got kids or grandkids? This is a book that my daughter did. Even though I was uneducated, I ran two companies that were for school libraries, all right, teaching programs. And so I'd go to libraries, I wouldn't find anything about Jesus there, a lot about, you know, evolution and all that garbage. And so we did four books, and they've all got the name God on it. And this one starts, well, they all start off with a poem. This one says, swimming in the ocean or walking on the land, each and every creature was formed by God's great hand. Some were given feathers and some were given skin. Many wear a coat of fur, others scales or fins. So when you get into the middle of the book, it's got a photo, the name of the animal, and everyone's got a poem. It's either a godly poem or it's a biological poem. I'm going to ask you a question, and I know you know the truth, so just speak it out. What is that?
It's a squid.
It's not a squid. So read the poem.
I am a cuttlefish, and I'm different, it's true, but I have three hearts, and my blood is coloured blue.
So what happens is kids going into school love them, and they become smart kids. The big thing that Susie's put on special is this one here, and I actually had a lady from Perth ring me, I think it was Wednesday, ordered 12 of these, right? They were printed and sold at $25 each. It's called Bible Fact or Fiction. I've done a lot of study on Bible evidence and historical findings. And this goes all the way through from Genesis all the way through to end times. And it's a beautiful coloured book. And Susie has discounted that to $10 as well. Right, that's a great gift. This lady bought them, 10 of them she did, just for her unsafe family. All right? Anybody ever seen that?
Yeah.
You look at it every morning. Is that because you sit on the loo and it's not the dunny door? Right. We call that the dunny door poster. It's called I Am Who I Am Because God Said I Am. And it's 50 affirmations of who we are according to the Word of God. Put it on the dunny door. You'll learn it off by heart. Kids, it's good for your kids, good for family, relatives, and God bless you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's so good to hear the Word of God, but it's so good to hear the Word of God from someone that experiences the Word God. You still can. It's a bonus. If they want to know about the CDs, how about they come and talk to you at the table? That's the bait. That's the clickbait, we call it. So praise God. Hallelujah. We were blessed this morning hearing Pastor Greg and his lovely wife speak with us. Wow. Wow.